Let's stay standing. I want to read Psalms 100. Maybe you can help me out a bit. Shout to the Lord, all earth. Let me say that again. Shout with joy to the Lord, O earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of the pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation. That's the God we're worshiping this morning. That's the God that we get to raise our voices to. We get to lift our hands. Maybe we let a shout out here and there. Why? Because he deserves it. Why? Because he is worthy of our praise. Can we say amen to that? So I'm going to invite the Holy Spirit to come to dwell with us. We're glad you're with us this morning. Our prayer is this, that the King of Kings would meet you today and that we would meet him. And the word says, draw close to him and he will draw close to us. And that's what we're going to do this morning, is we're going to draw close to him. So Holy Spirit, we ask that you would come. We ask that you would fill this place. We declare the word of God is going to be spoken here. We declare that the word is going to transform our lives, begin to shift situations. We declare that the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, has full reign in this place. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would fill this room from the back to the front. We pray that you would minister to our hearts. I pray that you would bring joy where joy is needed, that you would bring boldness where boldness is needed. Today, that you would bring faith where faith is needed. God, today, that you would break through mindsets. The mindsets we came in here with today, break them, shape them, mold them. We want to think like you. We want to hear like you. We want to see like you. So Jesus, have your way. Have your way in Jesus' name.
Dr. Luke, are you ready? This man has changed my life in many ways, especially a view of certain things in my understanding of God and understanding of friendship with God. I feel like he has something, I don't know if you'll talk about this today, but something that he's come into a revelation of that I am still leaning into, and I may lean into the rest of my life to grasp this amazing friendship and closeness with God. I want more. I want more. And I believe in this room we want more, right? We want more. So right now we just lean in to listen to a prophet, a friend, someone who has walked this journey and who still has many years ahead of, I don't even know what God's going to unfold for you. It's going to be fun. So we bless you this morning. Welcome. Let's welcome him.
Oh, it's such an honor to be here and such an honor to minister with friends, and I just love all of you guys. You guys are amazing, and this is my favorite place to minister, our local church. I really believe in local church, and it's such an honor when I get to share. And who has anticipation for this morning? Yeah, you're believing God's going to move? You know, I just got back from Regina. We brought a couple of our young people with us who we love. We had Amber, Kaylee Lindberg, and Christina somewhere. There she is. These guys were sharing on the stage with me in front of like 400 or 500 people. It was awesome. They just rocked it. God used them. They were prophesying over people. Beautiful. But I want us to lean in a bit today because, you know, I was sharing in Regina, I said this, that I'm actually just not content in preaching sermons anymore. You know, I'm actually looking for transformation and I'm looking for encounters. You know, in Sunday mornings like this, we can treat it one of two ways. We can either treat it like a Sunday morning, or we can treat it like a moment where if we lean in, we could be transformed for forever, and we could be equipped to live out our callings, and this could actually be an encounter for you this morning, okay? So why don't we do this? Why don't we lean in properly? Why don't you put your hand on your heart? Jesus, we say come. We ask you to move upon us. I ask you, Jesus, that you just open us up, crack us open, in Jesus' name, to the greater things of your kingdom. And right now, Jesus, you know, we're talking about hearing the voice of God, and this is week four, and right now I just speak forth and I say, I just declare ears open to hear the voice of God and eyes open to see in Jesus' name, where there's been maybe prophetic giftings that have fallen asleep or hope deferred that's made your voice seem very dim, God. We call our senses to wake up again in Jesus' name right now. So I declare that right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. So how many of you guys know this, that when you're saved, we're actually born again into a supernatural kingdom? It's a supernatural kingdom. It's where sickness and disease don't exist. It's where signs and wonders frequently happen. It's where the voice of God is common. You know, I remember several years ago, back when I was living in Calgary, Alberta, I was walking down the street in downtown Calgary, and I looked over and I saw these two women. They were young adults, and I got a word of knowledge for one of them. You guys know what a word of knowledge is? It's when God shows you something factual about someone that you'd have you wouldn't be able to know it beyond God speaking to you. So I got this word of knowledge, and I walked up to this one young girl, and I said, hey, this is a random question, but I was like, do you get pain in your right knee? And she said, it's the craziest thing. She's like, I have the worst pain in my knee. How did you know this? And I was like, well, I'm a Christian, and I believe God speaks today. You guys believe God speaks today? We've had 3 weeks of this already so far this week four. And I said, I believe God speaks today. And I said, if you let me pray for you, I believe that Jesus is going to heal you. And she said to me, she said, this is the craziest thing. This is so great because my friend here is a Reiki healer. And she tried to do Reiki healing on me, but it didn't work. And she's like, she can't heal me. And her friend looked a bit embarrassed. She's like, she can't heal me. She said, can you heal me? I said, no, but Jesus can. And I said, and he can heal you right now. So we got to pray for this woman. Her knee gets healed. Praise God. That Reiki healer has to go home and deal with the fact that demonic power actually cowers before the power of the blood of Jesus. Hey? But isn't it amazing that we're born again into this supernatural kingdom where this stuff can actually be common if we'll step into it? That's the key word, if. Say if. Okay. I'm writing a book right now, and it's on the modern prophetic renewal. So back in 1988, that's when the prophetic ministry became common again in the body of Christ. So God raised up very specific pioneers who brought this revelation back to the church that God still speaks today, and we can hear his voice, I would say, whenever we want. We can tap into his voice. Now, there is a man, I'm actually working with most of the most known prophets right now in the world, which is very humbling, to be honest with you. But one man named Bill Hammond, some of you guys might know him, some of you guys might not, he's in his 90s now, he shares a story about how in 1972, he was preaching at a church, and back then it was kind of like, it was almost like this thing throughout the churches where people thought it's like you could give like maximum two prophetic words, maybe three if you're lucky, and then that's it. God's done speaking then, and you give no more prophetic words. So he's up at the front, and he gives his two or three prophetic words, and then he says to the rest, he says, well, I'm going to lay hands on you guys, and I'll pray for all of you. And, you know, because that's just what was common to him. So all the people line up, 250 people. Now, here's the thing. He lays his hand on one person's head, and he starts hearing the voice of God again for this person. He's like, wait a minute, I already gave my two or three prophetic words. What's happening? He says, I'll go along with it. Gives a word, goes to the second person, gives another word. He stayed there until 1 or 2 in the morning and gave 250 prophetic words. Amazing, hey? But it's profound because this isn't just a demonstration of a gift. It's not just a demonstration of God speaking. This man actually caught a revelation of his accessibility to the voice of God. And that's what God wants to do right now. He doesn't want us to just know that God speaks today. He wants us to know that he speaks to us. Throw some scriptures at you guys. John chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus said this. He said, my sheep hear my voice. They know me. So who here, you're saved and Jesus is your shepherd? Okay, so biblically, the sheep hear his voice. God speaks to us. If you look in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, Jesus said, man cannot live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10, it says that the Spirit of God searches all things, even the deep things of God. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1, it says, pursue love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially that you'll prophesy. Acts chapter 2, verse 17 and 18, in the last days God will pour out his Spirit over all flesh, and your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see what? And your old men will see what? Okay. So biblically, we know that we can hear the voice of God. One of the great honors of my life is, it's a bit interesting for me training on this in the local church here, because, you know, I've been traveling and speaking for almost 20 years, and the main thing I've trained the church in is hearing God's voice. So it's weird talking on a Sunday morning what I would actually do in a prophetic school. But I love it because God wants this to be common. And really what we need is we need to actually be awoken to the reality of what we've actually been born again into, which is a communicable relationship where we know that God speaks to us. And you know, in our prophetic schools, sometimes we have people who come out to our schools and they don't even believe that God wants to speak to them, but then by the end they can give 20 prophetic words one after another. Some of our young adults who get around us who were at first maybe they struggled hearing the voice of God, you know, that God's word becomes common to them because they come into a culture where it's actually very normal. You know, I know my niece Christina lives with us, and she had a few dreams before she moved in with us, but now I'm pretty sure I help her interpret her dreams every day, you know? It's great. Like, God's activating her to hear the voice of God every single day. And I remember the very first time when I came to this realization, not only that God speaks today, but it was like my breakthrough moment in the prophetic, and I understood the power of the word of the Lord. I was 18 years old, and I'm sitting in a coffee shop. I was sitting in Tim Hortons. Any of you guys like Tim Hortons? Wow, that was a lot of enthusiasm for Tim Hortons. Got to introduce you to some better coffee shops, I think. Oh, someone, I'm not trying to pick a fight, don't worry. I'm sitting in this Tim Hortons, 18 years old, and I just had this thing inside of me. I was reading my Bible, and I was like, God, your word says that you spoke to this man Ezekiel, you spoke to this man Isaiah, you spoke to Elijah, you spoke to all these people, and you're no respecter of persons, so surely you can speak to an 18-year-old. Hey, we need that kind of agitation inside of us where we're actually not content with other people's testimonies, we want our own. So I'm sitting there, and I look a few tables over, and there's a man about in his mid-40s maybe. And he's writing in his journal, and I saw this guy, and I was like, well, God, I'd love a prophetic word for him. I was like, I want to see that your word is real. And I'd given a few prophetic words here and there, but I was like, I didn't know if they were really God or not. So I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, I get a picture in my mind. And what I saw was a picture of this young child. He's running throughout this field trying to catch a butterfly, and no matter how hard he tries, he just can't catch this butterfly. And I felt like God spoke to me. I was like, hey, well, what does this mean? And God said, well, ever since he was a small child, he's felt like he's chased after beauty his entire life, but it's always felt just out of hand's grasp. But then God said, but I'm about to open doors that he's been praying to have open, and I'm about to close doors that he's been praying to have closed. So I said, okay, I'm like, I'm going to give this prophetic word to this guy. So I get up, and I'm nervous, because I'm super reserved in my personality. So, you know, I was very shy. So I got up and I was walking towards him, and then I got butterflies myself, and then I beelined it to the bathroom, and I'm like, okay, I got to gain my composure. I got to be brave enough to go and do this. So I go back out and I walk up to this guy, and I interrupt him while he's writing in his journal, and I say to him, I was like, hey, can I just share something with you? I'm actually a Christian. I believe that God speaks today. And I felt like God gave me a message for you. Can I share this with you? And he's like, yeah, absolutely. You can share with me. So I said, here's the message. I felt like God said that ever since you were a small child, you've been chasing after beauty your entire life, but it's always felt just out of hand's grasp. But God is about to open doors that you've been praying to have open, and he's about to close doors that you've been praying to have closed. Now this guy's jaw drops. He's like, you have no clue what you just said. And I was like, you're right. He's like, I have no clue what I just said, really. You're accurate. And this is what he does. He spins his journal around. He slides it over to me. He says, I need you to read what I just wrote. I said, okay, I'll read it. And it said this. It said, Dear God, ever since I was a small child, I feel like I've been chasing after beauty my entire life, but it's always felt just out of hand's grasp. And I pray that you open the doors that I've been praying to have open, and I pray that you close the doors that I've been praying to have closed. Now, interesting, hey? Interesting. Good choice of words. Now, this wasn't just a reality check for me where I was like, wow, God can speak to me. The thing I remember the most is I looked into that man's eyes and they were glazed over in tears. And it wasn't just a man who got a confirmation. I looked into his eyes and I saw that his heart was being transformed in that moment. And I began to understand the power of the word of the Lord. Where I was like, God, if the church can actually learn to harness this and wield this, we won't just see people encouraged within the four walls of the church. Guess what we get to do? We get to bring the word of the Lord out into society. We get to get a little bit evangelistic behind our prophetic gifts. And guess what? We can actually see hearts transformed all throughout the world. In business, education system, family, we can do it. And guess what? It's not just for prophets to prophesy. That's what we got to catch. It's actually for every single one of us. Every single one of us in this room can hear the voice of God. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, it says that God has appointed some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the works of ministry. So a prophet's job in the body of Christ is not just to prophesy, it's to equip the church to do what comes natural to them. What is it? I believe it's Matthew chapter 10, verse 41, where Jesus said, he who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. What is a prophet's reward? It's to hear what God is saying and to see what he's doing. And when we receive prophets, we receive ears to hear and eyes to see. Kaylee's laughing at me. So I'll talk about a few of the different ways that God speaks. So the first way, and you know, I have the honor of getting to follow up after three amazing speakers. You know, we had Pastor Chris, Pastor Mark, Pastor Matthew, all these guys just sharing such amazing things. And I want to, without overlapping them too much, because I listened to all their messages, I was like, I don't want to give you guys everything you already got. But I want to talk about a few of the different ways that God speaks. The first way, obvious one, and I'm not going to go into this much because these guys covered it so well, is that God speaks through his written word. Isn't that important? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. The word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. Divides joints and marrow, soul, spirit. You know, the word of God is so important, and when we don't value the written word of God, the prophetic ministry just goes off the rails. It really does. In fact, every single thing that God speaks prophetically should submit to the written word of God. If it doesn't, it's not God. Okay? There's a reason why when I speak, I quote scriptures like I do. I try to model to the body of Christ as a prophetic minister the importance of the written word of God. So the written word of God, it's actually a plumb line for the prophetic ministry. So if you want to grow in your prophetic gift, you want to learn to hear the voice of God, pick up your Bible. It's the first one. Second one. God speaks through the still, small voice. We talked about this in the last few weeks as well, and I won't get into the story. They already shared it, but, you know, 1 Kings 19, Elijah's fleeing from Jezebel, and he's in a cave, and what did he hear? The still, small voice behind him. Now, one of the things that I love about hearing the voice of God is that Holy Spirit, he's not an external God. So, therefore, we can't expect him to be speaking audibly to us all the time, although he can speak audibly. You know, I've heard the audible voice of God many times personally. Has anyone here heard the audible voice of God? I'm sure some of you guys have some testimonies. Yeah, a number of you. But Holy Spirit, he's not an external God. He's an internal God. So therefore, he'll speak through things like our thought process, impressions, emotions, senses. Now, this makes it a little complicated, hey, with discerning what is God and what's not God. Now, I'll share a story with you. Remember one time I was in another coffee shop, Starbucks this time. See, we're going up the ladder a little bit, hey? Glory to glory, strength to strength. I'm in Starbucks this time. I look over, I see another man, and God speaks to me and he says, Luke, I want you to give that man a prophetic word. Now I'm bolder at this point, you know, I'd given some prophetic words and I grew in my gift, getting a bit more confident in hearing God's voice. God says, I have a prophetic word I want you to give that guy. I said, yeah, I'm going to go give it to him. I said, what's the word? And God said, I'll tell you when you walk up to him and open your mouth. Isn't that the best? Yeah. He does that when I'm preaching often sometimes too. So I walk up to this guy and I said to him, hey, I'm a Christian. I believe God speaks today. I have a message for you and I'd love to share this message with you. And he's so excited about it. He's like, I'd love to hear this message. Please tell me what this message is. And I'm thinking, yeah, I'd love to hear it too because I don't know what it is. So I'm standing in front of him, and all of a sudden, this word just pops in my head. It wasn't the audible voice of God. It wasn't that some angel came and spoke to me. It was just like an impression in my heart. It was the still small voice. And it was the word son. That's it, son. So now this is how the prophetic ministry works. God might give you a little crumb, and then by faith you pull on that crumb. So I said to him, I said, well, I felt like God showed me that you have a son. So I pulled on that by faith, that God thought, and all of a sudden it begins to materialize into a word. So I started saying more, and I said, actually, I feel like God showed me you have two sons. And I felt like God just showed me that in the last few months you've been laying awake at night dreaming about what it would be like to have more of an emotional connection with your youngest son. Is this true? And he starts getting tears in his eyes, and he said, yeah, this is true. And I was like, God's actually declaring a breakthrough over your guys' relationship, and you're going to start to notice this in the next 2 weeks. And I was like, and this is going to be a sign to you of God's goodness in your life because Jesus really loves you. See, we always get to point it back to him. That's the point of gifts, right? We point people into the arms of Jesus. And then all of a sudden, another word pops into my head, the word business. So I pull on that God thought by faith. It's almost like pulling a prophetic word right out of the heart of the Father. And I said, you actually have a gift for business, don't you? And then more just started coming. And I said, actually, for the last 15 years, you've tried to start business after business, but they've failed over and over and over again. But now you want to start a new business in fine carpentry, don't you? And he's like, what is going on? And the other tables are starting to look now. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know. But I'm just going for it, and I'm encouraging this guy and pulling things out of the heart of the Father for this man. You know, and it led to his salvation, praise God, because that's what it's for. But this is what people are looking for. Did you know that? When you go out there, it doesn't matter how bad of a mood they're in. It doesn't matter what their background is. It doesn't matter what their past is. It doesn't matter what they went through. It doesn't matter if they identify as an atheist or agnostic or Buddhist or Muslim. You know what they're all looking for? A word from the Father. Every single one of them. Doesn't matter what they're wearing up front, in the depths of their heart, they're looking for the voice of God. They're looking for something straight from the Father. They are. So 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3, it says this. It says that prophecy is for the edification, which means to build up, the exhortation, which means to encourage, and for the comforting of the church. You know, it all points back to the love of the Father. But it's interesting. I remember when I first started growing in my prophetic gift in my early 20s, as I started traveling and speaking when I was 20. God gave me permission to just throw myself out there as much as I could by faith to grow in my prophetic gift in hearing God's voice. So I'd go and speak at a smaller church, and then at the end of my message, I'd say, okay, now this is what we're going to do. I want to give every single one of you a personal prophetic word. We're going to take the next 3-4 hours, and that's what we're going to do. And, you know, I'd give 80 prophetic words. But see, what I'm doing is I'm actually trying to tune my ears to hear the still small voice, and I'm trying to pull on that by faith. Not just because I'm trying to grow in a gift, it's because I want to effectively love the person standing in front of me. I want to connect them to the heart of the Father, and I can actually use the language of the Father to actually draw them into his arms. Does that make sense? So that's the second way that God can speak, is through the still small voice. Another way that God can speak is through visions. Getting a little spooky now, hey? Getting a little mystical. No, we know that visions are biblical. I already quoted it. Acts chapter 2, verse 17 and 18. It says that young men will have visions. Old men will dream dreams. It's very fascinating. It's Acts chapter 1, verse 8, I believe, where it talks about how we will we'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us and we'll become witnesses for him. Witness is a very interesting word because we often connect the word witness to our mouths. We witness and we speak. But before you can actually speak with your mouth as a witness, you witness with your eyes. So when we're born again, there's actually something that happens where we actually begin to see God. Do you know that? We can actually see in ways that we couldn't before because that's a part of hearing the voice of God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. That's Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. It's very interesting. So I remember years ago, I felt to share a lot of evangelism stories today. I love evangelism stories. And I love seeing the voice of God in the marketplace. So I remember years ago, back in Tim Hortons, backslidden, you know, I'm backslidden from Starbucks back into Tim Hortons. Okay. I look up and I see this group of people, group of men, and they're burly men. And there's this one guy who's the burliest of all of them. He was the short, stout little cowboy guy. this guy has the big boots. He has the cowboy hat. And, you know, I'm from Calgary, so when I travel, people always ask me, they're like, there's probably cowboys everywhere. No, there's not. There's the fake cowboys in Calgary. There he is. You know, I'm Calgarian. I can say it. And when the Stampede rolls around, we get a lot of people wearing their cowboy hats, but, you know, Stampede leaves, and those cowboy hats go back in the closet for a year. But this guy, you know, this was 2 months after the Stampede, and he's still wearing them, so he's the real deal. That's how I knew. He's a real cowboy. So I look at this man, and all of a sudden I get this vision. Now, it wasn't like my sight blacked out and I saw things just as clearly as I'm seeing you, although that can happen. God can do that. It was like an imprint in my mind. You know, if you look in the book of Daniel, Daniel says, I'm actually troubled by the visions in my mind. Interesting, hey? Still small voice, even for visions. And I saw this picture, this vision of this man's, I believe it was his left leg, of his thigh, that his muscles were just like shredded. And he was in a lot of pain. So I walk up to this group. I interrupt their conversation. There's 5-6 guys. And I turn to the little cowboy. The little cowboy. I hope he's not listening. So, well, that's what we'll call him. We got this little cowboy man. And I say to him, hey, this is a random question, but do you have pain in your left thigh, and it's something muscular? And this sweet little cowboy man, you know, he says, we'll just make it worse and worse as we go, okay? That's what we'll do. This sweet little adorable cowboy man. He's just looking at me, and he's giving me the blank stare. And all these other guys, they're burly, right? They're like from the rigs or something, I don't know. I'm just like this weak little minister talking to these guys. And they're starting to laugh at me. They're starting to snicker, and they're kind of shooing me away and stuff. And I was like, fine. But I said to him, I said, I believe God showed me this about you. And I was like, and I believe that Jesus, he does want to heal you. So I was like, I just want to leave that with you, and I believe you're going to be healed. So I leave. And about 2 weeks later, I come back to that coffee shop, and I saw that man there again. I didn't go and talk with him that time, but as I'm leaving, I'm walking through the parking lot, and I hear someone behind me, and he says, hey, buddy. And I turn around, and I look, and it's this little man. it's this little man. And he's walking up to me, and he said, hey, you. I said, yeah. He's like, you remember me? I was like, absolutely, I do. He said, well, I was too nervous to tell you before. But he said, I don't know what happened, but I got in this accident, and it was like the muscles in my thigh just like shredded. But later that night, I went to bed, and I woke up in the middle of the night because I felt like a heat on my thigh, and it felt like my muscles were actually meshing back together. And over the span of a week, he just kept feeling that pressure in his leg until he was completely healed. Like, praise God, hey? God can speak through visions. What about dreams? Job chapter 33, verses 15 and 16. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men and they slumber upon their beds, God opens up the ears of men and he seals their instruction. Who here is a dreamer in the room? Yeah, a lot of you guys. See, dreams are a very important way that God speaks. Did you know that you spend approximately 1/3 of your life sleeping? So if you live to be about 90, you will have slept for approximately 30 years of your life. Glory. Glory, yes, I agree. I have a toddler and I'm almost 40. That's revival for me. But so if we don't believe that God will speak to us in our dreams, in the night season, we're actually putting up a barrier of doubt inside of our hearts, believing that God won't speak to us for 1/3 of our lives. It's a big deal. I remember years ago, you know, it's through dreams that God seals our instruction. That's what Job 33 says. So I remember years ago, I had this very interesting dream. I'm an avid dreamer. So is Sophie. We get dreams most nights, I'd say, from the Lord. And I had this dream that I was standing at the foot of this mountain that I had never seen before. And I'm looking up. I don't recognize any of the rocks, trees, none of that stuff. So I'm looking up. I'm like, oh, this is interesting. I've never seen this mountain. And I knew in my spirit, like I knew in my heart in this dream, I was like, this is the mountain of the arts and entertainment industry. I knew it. And then all of a sudden, this 15-year-old boy shows up. I believe he was an angel. And this 15-year-old boy said to me, Luke, it's time to start climbing this new mountain. I woke up from that dream, you guys, I was just sweating. I was like, I don't want to do anything in the arts and entertainment industry, like nothing. Like, I just want to travel, training people and hearing God's voice, identity. That's what I love to do. But I started just thinking about it, and the Lord began to speak to me, and he said, Luke, two of the most prominent authors in the last century were J.R.R. Tolkien and C.S. Lewis. But here's the things. They weren't known for their teachings. They were known for their parables. They were known for Lord of the Rings, Chronicles of Narnia. And he said, sometimes God is straight up with me. He's like, you know, your books are good. He's like, your Christian books, they're good. He said, the only people who are reading them are hungry Christians. He said, but if you can take those books and turn them into novels, you can actually reach people outside the four walls of the church, and you can impact generations who would never even step foot in the church. So I'm like, okay. So now I'm starting to think, now I'm starting to dream, and me and Sophie talk about it, and we're like, well, maybe, you know, I'll take my teachings and turn them into novels, and I'll use a pen name, and then those novels will turn into movies one day. And people don't know this about me, but I'm a musician, and I write orchestral music and stuff, and I was like, maybe we can do something like that. But it's so interesting because, maybe I'll share this part of the story. I was sitting down with a friend maybe 2 months later, and he's an Indian man, but he's highly prophetic, lives in the nation of Canada. I'm sitting down with him, and I said, you know, I'm in this interesting season of transition right now. And he cuts me off, hey? He said, I just had a vision for you. See, prophetic people, we don't understand like social protocol very well sometimes, hey? In a conversation, cuts me off. All right. I said, what did God show you? And he said, your transition that's taking place is actually in your writing. He said, you used to write teachings, now you're going to write parables. Those parables are going to turn into films. And he's like, I don't know if you're a musician, but I see you writing orchestral music for movies. And he's just going off, and he said, the reason why is because you're called to start climbing a new mountain, which is the mountain of the arts and entertainment industry. Interesting. That's a good word, eh? If you get a word like that from me anytime, you cut me off, that's fine. So I had this massive pivot in my writing career where I started taking all my kingdom teachings and identity teachings and started putting them into story forms. And we started getting these books into schools. I never even tried, but they just ended up in schools being used as curriculum. And we have so many testimonies that have come in from teachers who are reading these stories to the class, even in some secular schools, and the kids will start crying because these books are about identity. I use my pen name L.R. Knight. You might wonder why Knight. It just sounds cool. That's why. It's better than Niebergall. That's for sure. We have so many testimonies that have come in of young kids who were dyslexic and they'd read these books and get healed. Like, amazing, hey? So many learning disabilities we've seen healed. It all came through a dream. I don't have time to get into how to interpret dreams today. Maybe one day we can do something like that, because it's important to know how to interpret dreams, but that's for another day. Another way that God speaks. Can I get a little mystical? Just a little bit? Do you know that God can speak through angels? Did you know that that's straight in the Bible? Not only is it straight in the Bible, but it's woven all throughout the Bible. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14 talks about how God sends angels as ministering spirits to minister to those who will inherit salvation. So if you're saved, you actually have, biblically, you have angels that minister to you, whether you know it or not. So if we could only open our eyes to see what's going on around us, hey, we'd probably maybe even see more angels in the room than people. And it's interesting when I talk about these types of supernatural things, some people get a little uncomfortable, hey? You know, I know in the book of Revelation, John really slipped up by worshiping an angel. He shouldn't have done that, hey? So we get a little finicky with some supernatural things out of a fear of the unknown. And I've had so many people who have come up to me when I say talk about the angelic. They'll be like, Luke, you shouldn't talk about that because, you know, we don't want to worship angels. And it's like, whoa, hold on. We're called to actually seek first the kingdom of heaven. And if angels are part of the kingdom of heaven, it's not wrong to acknowledge a part of God's kingdom. That makes sense to me. You know, if I talk about a different attribute of God's kingdom, say like the fruit of joy or peace, I have never had someone come up to me and be like, hey, brother, you know, we don't want to talk about joy. You know, we don't want to worship joy. No, we're not worshiping anything by acknowledging it. But see, especially in Western Christianity, we have actually desensitized ourselves completely to the supernatural reality of the kingdom. We have. And I'll tell you something. It's the power and love of God that actually draws the eyes of those who don't know Jesus. In this time period, if I walk out there and hand someone a track and give them a good opinion and some good thoughts on Christianity, they won't listen to me. But if I walk up to them and give them the word of the Lord, they're all ears. I'll tell you that. It's interesting. We got to get back to where we were. If you look at Acts chapter 12, here's a very interesting story. So Peter was imprisoned due to preaching the gospel. And while he's in prison, there's a group of believers, and they're praying in a home, and they're praying and praying and praying that he'd be miraculously released, and he was. Now, Peter comes to the house where these believers are praying. He knocks on the door, and there's this little girl named Rhoda. She hears that it's Peter at the door. And she's listening. Okay. She hears that it's Peter. She goes to the group of believers praying, and she's like, "You guys, Peter, he's at the door right now." This is what they say. You can look it up. Acts chapter 12. This is what they say. It's just Peter's angel. And they go back to praying. Catch that. They brush it off as casual. They think that this is a physical manifestation of an angel knocking on a door, talking to a little girl, but they brush it off as casually and go back to praying. If that happened in most North American churches, it would cause a church split. It would. But they brushed it off as casual because it was so common for them to experience the supernatural things of God. It's like, man, we got to get back to that again. Man, we need to let our faith grow again, hey? Oh, can I share one story with you? This is when I was a lot younger, a lot thinner, you know? You guys know how it is. That's how I start my stories with my early 20s now. I'm like, back when I was a thinner man, this is what happened. That's what I say. I was preaching at this church, and the Lord just had me sharing about, like, how God can speak through different supernatural means. And I was talking about how angels are very biblical in the Bible. You can't actually remove the angelic from the Bible. Like, it's everywhere. So I'm talking about this, and I'm sharing some experiences that I've had, because I do see in the spirit realm very, very frequently. And I look up, and I see the pastor's wife, and she's sitting a few pews back, and she starts kind of, like, looking around like she's, like, uncomfortable or something like that. And I watch her as she starts kind of moving down the pew and then sits down on the other side of the pew, and it's super distracting. Like, it's very distracting, and I'm trying to, like, just keep preaching and just not be distracted by this woman. I went up to her and I asked her afterwards, and I was like, what was going on? And bear in mind, she's a very conservative Christian. This is what she said to me. She said, "Luke, you were up there and you were talking about all these wild supernatural things that you've experienced." And she said, "I know God is no respecter of persons. So if God can do this for you, then he definitely can do it for me." You know, I was so young. I'm thinking about it now. That's a little degrading, eh? If you can do it for you, then you certainly can for me. I couldn't even grow a beard back then. But when she said that to God, she heard something behind her, and she looks back, and she sees a literal angel step into the sanctuary. It looks just as real as I can see you. This wasn't seeing by faith. It was there, and it walked up and sat right next to her. That's why she was looking down, looking around a little weird. So she tried to slide down the pew to get away from it. So it slid down after her, and when she stopped, this angel leaned over and whispered the word of the Lord into her ear. Like, come on, you guys. You guys, God can do this stuff. We just got to be awoken to the reality of the kingdom of heaven. And look, you guys know me. I'm pretty sure every time I've preached here, I've talked about character and integrity and friendship with God. I talk about that stuff so much. It burns in me. That's my message right now, you guys. Purity of heart, wielding weighty gifts. Like, I preach that all over the world. It's what burns inside of me. But we can't let the pendulum go to the other extreme, where we only talk about those things and we don't get excited about the supernatural things of God. Because it's not one or the other. We actually need all of Jesus, don't we? We need all of Jesus. Even if parts of Jesus make us a little bit uncomfortable. It's like, oh, I don't know what I think about some of these supernatural things. It makes me a little uncomfortable. Yeah, I get it. There's been times where God has come to me and tried to present a new part of himself to me, and I get a bit uncomfortable too. But that's not a him problem. It's not that he needs to adjust and then come around me the way that I think that he should. It's that I need to adjust in my heart to make space for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords to have a full seat in my heart. That's what it's about. So God can speak any way that he wants to. I covered, I don't even know how many I talked about, but he can speak in so many different ways. You know, he can speak through community. You know that? That's an important one. I meet way too many Lone Ranger prophetic people. Way too many. We got to get in community. God can speak through prophetic encounters. He can speak through signs and wonders. He can speak through creation. He can speak through creativity. There's so many ways that he can speak. You know, the best way to hear God's voice, you know, we can go to listen to messages like this and do exercises, and we can move in gifting, but the best way is just to draw close to Jesus Christ. Draw close to him in friendship. Get so close that you hear his whisper. Oh, and Jesus, that's what we want. That's what we want. That's what we want. Just posture yourself however you need to right now. Jesus, right now in this place. Right now in this place, Jesus, we just draw near to you. We draw near to you, God, and I pray for an activation right now over every single person in this room, every person to hear your voice, God. I pray, Jesus, if there's prophetic gifts that have gone to sleep, I declare that they awaken now in Jesus' name. If maybe we have some wounds from the prophetic ministry of maybe being mishandled in the past, God, we let those hurts fall to the ground right now. And God, we just say we want to trust your voice again. And God, I pray right now for an increase for us to hear your voice through your written word right now in Jesus' name. I pray that you help us to fall in love with the scripture, to fall in love with the Bible. I pray, God, that you activate us to hear your still small voice. We want to hear you speak the whisper, God, not just the shout. If you want to speak audibly, but we want to hear the whisper to draw so close, God. I pray, God, that you open our eyes for visions, our night seasons for dreams. I pray that you open our ears and community to hear your wisdom and word through our brothers and sisters, fathers, mothers, sons, daughters. God, we pray for an activation for our ears today. And for ears that did not hear, we declare that they hear. For eyes that did not see, we declare that they see right now in Jesus' name. Yeah.